Welcome back, Peppers. What another big weekend of fantasy we've had. Injuries galore. We've had, Doc die. We've had Coleman die. I did actually record a pod recently on that, so we probably don't need to go through it. But, yes, we're sitting here at halftime in the Carlton and Richmond game, and Richmond are up by a point, and Harry McKay's doing very well. Nick Newman also. So there's a bit happening fantasy-wise in that game. But we're not here to talk about that game. We're here to talk about teams and prep you for the weekend and kind of look at any last-minute changes or fantasy-relevant players that that might be good for this weekend. We normally do our in-season kind of teams, captains, and trades. So we'll be slightly tweaking that to go for round one. And to help us with that, we've got Mr. Nathan Quarrell himself, a bit of a draft extraordinaire. How are you going tonight, Nath?
I'm going quite well, thanks, Miller. Thanks for having me on.
No worries. How's your preseason going?
Oh, it's been up and down, and I reckon I've created a classic team about 37,000 times and in about 9 drafts, more than I'd like to this year. But all in all, it's been pretty good.
So what's your single season versus keeper draft split?
Single season, let's have a look here. How many am I in? It's about half-half.
Oh, okay.
I think I got about three keepers on the go. I got one keeper that's absolutely amazing. There's zero cash on the line, but they all want to kill each other and they all want to beat each other. So it's far more valuable.
Those are always the good ones, aren't they? Where the trades just get absolutely, when someone makes a trade, everyone just bags it out for weeks.
Oh yeah, and we've had a new guy come along, and he's
He got rorted.
No. He's
the new guys always get trade rorted.
Oh, he's had the fire sale of the century. Like, he got rid of Max Gorn for Isaac Rankin, and there was a whole lot of things.
Really?
Jesus. He was involved in a trade, but he's copped it. But he's also the kind of guy that lights up a group chat, so it's a fair trade. So you have him in your draft comp.
Yeah. Nice. And you've been doing a bit of work with the Fantasy Factory?
I wouldn't say work.
You've been commissioning a couple of leagues or what?
Well, I suppose in that case, yes, I have been doing some work. But a draft that we are in together. But trying to round up the people on behalf of Mr. Paul Milne. That's it was proving a little bit difficult for a moment.
Yes.
But we got there in the end.
Not as much as some of the other leagues, I understand. There were a couple of them that had a lot of auto drafters because people didn't show.
I think we had a pretty good, decent showing.
Yeah, I think ours was good. I can't remember. I think one Milne was in earlier had some trouble.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, they're always fun. But you got your classic team ready to go then? Or you still making changes?
Yeah, I think I'll be making changes up until the first bounce of each game. But mostly settled. Couple of my M1 and M2 spots are a bit up in the air at the moment, and somebody threw a bomb in the group chat about Luke Jackson and their cheapy ruck, Fremantle's cheapy ruck being named somewhere on the bench. But yeah,
extended benches. They always name second rucks on extended benches, don't they?
Yeah, I think so. So yeah, I don't know. I haven't really looked too closely tonight.
They always named. I remember. What was it? The Saints would always name Campbell on the extended bench every week.
Yeah.
He almost never played, but it was just enough to play with your head.
Oh, yeah. And I think that's the thing. I think at this point of the season, you just, especially with Classic, you don't look too deeply into it. You just, you trust your gut on the research and, the group think that that has happened for the last 6 months and, you follow the pack for a bit, I guess.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it's always, there's not too much to be gained by going giant pods at the start. Yeah, you can lose more than you gain, I think.
I think you're absolutely right there. This week, and especially with the rolling lockouts, this is the chance that you've got to completely obliterate all the hard work that
people
have put into this.
You can't win the season in week one, but you can certainly lose it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, speaking of that, I think my team's got Jack McRae in it. I got to work out what I'm going to do there. He's sitting at F1. That is a mess.
Yes, he's certainly thrown a few bombs into my draft teams.
Oh yeah, I think I've got him as must be F1 in a couple of leagues. I'm going to go up to fix that up.
But that's okay. That's what we've got Friday for.
That's it. Well, there's a whole lot of, but we'll I guess we'll touch on the players as we go through. But the bench is a bit of a mess as well, by the looks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it could be a jump in and have to make some changes there tomorrow, I think.
Yeah, so I've got Seth Campbell regrets at the moment. So.
Oh yeah, God, he looked all right last week. I think I've got him on sitting on the bench as well.
Yep.
10 at halftime. Yuck.
Yeah, it's all right.
And I've got the E on him as well in case I want to loop him in, so I can't even use that on someone else. Oh, that was a waste. I thought if he scores another 60, he might be useful.
Yeah, that's not looking the case.
No, sir. Not at all. All right, let's jump into the teams. We've taken care of this one. That's tonight. Let's have a look at tomorrow's game. We've got Collingwood and the Swans. I'm going to say Collingwood are going to get up there by, I don't know, 12 points. Should be a tight game, though. I might head along if I can organise that tomorrow night. We've got Jeremy Howe and Finlay McRae in, so that's one to watch. Tom Mitchell's been managed and John Noble's the sub, so there's a few. God, this is probably the fantasy relevant game of the round almost, I'd say. I could name a dozen players. The Swans are obviously very fantasy relevant, having been a round zero team, and we've watched them. You know, we've got guys like Grundy, Jordan, Heaney, Roberts, Chad Warner, I think, is sort of fantasy relevant.
I sort of feel like Errol's been a bit overlooked after his score last week.
He has, yeah. I wouldn't punt on him myself just because of his bye and because of his crapness. Like, I would have probably been considering punting on him if he'd come out and pumped it last week, but because he didn't, I'm like, well, that's a bye player I can ignore.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It was an easy one to cross off my list, that's for sure.
Yeah, and on the Collingwood side, we got Dacos is the obvious one. I don't know if there's too many others in terms of Collingwood players that I'd pick for a classic side. Josh Dacos I kind of tinkered with. But, yeah, I don't think there's too many other. Any other Collingwood players you consider?
None that I would consider, but, I mean, draft relevant Tom Mitchell being out. That's
Oh, for sure. That's going to kill some teams.
Yeah, absolutely. And there still may have been some people that went a little bit earlier on him in a draft, but I don't, other than that, not too much super-duper relevant on that one.
Yeah, and captaincy was probably Dacos and Goulden. Would you take either of those for your captain?
I would. I think Errol Goulden's a good shout. Got here in my notes. His average versus Collingwood is 114 from the three games that he's played. They are his number one team that he averages against, and he had 161 against them last year. He also had a bit of a slow start last year. There was a couple of 70 games in his first six games, so I wouldn't put it past him that he can't hit those heights again. So
yeah, certainly want to consider. I don't know if I'd. He's awfully expensive too, isn't he? What's Errol Goulden cost? So he's going to be your obviously your M1 at 1,000,015.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of money.
Which I don't know that anybody after having the free swing of last week's round zero is going to take him. He's going to take him in their side.
I wouldn't think so. The other thing you've got to consider is both these teams have buys at the same time, so you don't want too many players of either. I had a lot of Swans. I had to dump Heaney. I had Heaney in my side, but I had to dump him because I had too many Swans. How many Swans are you rocking?
I'm rocking Jordan Grundy and Matt Roberts at the moment.
Yeah, that's. I think that's what I'm down to as well. I had Heaney and I had someone else at one point, but yeah, just the three of them. And then Dacos. So yeah, that's what is it? Four players.
Yeah.
For the buy, that's yeah. I think you wouldn't. That's achievable. You wouldn't want any more than that for any weeks of the buys, would you? Maybe five you could deal with.
No, I mean, I think everybody's a bit different in what they. How they want to approach these buyers. Mm. I mean, it's sort of uncharted territory for all of us. But Nick, you know, I'm sort of taking the line of I don't really want to have any more than one premium with somebody that I consider a premium on a buy at any given time.
So you got Dacos?
I do at the moment. I'm sort of flip-flopping between having Dacos and Steel and then Tom Green and Tuke at the moment as my M1, M2 combination. Okay. So, yeah.
Oh, so you haven't got Dacos in defense?
No, because he's sort of the best I can afford as a midfielder last spot. And the rest of it, I'm sort of... I could blow up my team tomorrow completely. So
yeah, well, I was a bit like that. I had to completely restructure mine to fit the bias. So it's not as what I'd want. But yeah, certainly one of the first things I did was just go Dacos, D1, move on.
Yeah. And he sat there for a long time for me as well. So.
Yeah, I can imagine. What do we got for the next one? You want to run us in the ins and outs and the fantasy relevant players of the Essendon and the Hawks?
So let's have a look. Essendon and the Hawks. Fantasy relevant, I think that Nick Martin on the wing.
Dick, yep.
Named on the wing is very interesting, considering I think a lot of us have planned that he's going to be playing halfback. So there's a fair chance that he may still, but I thought it was pretty interesting that he was named on the wing there. Zach Merritt, Finn McGuinness is named on the interchange, so it's going to be a bit interesting there.
There's no Parrish, is there? So Zach Merritt's, if he doesn't get tagged, he'll go pretty big.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. But I can't, they've bought Finn in for it. So I can't see that going terribly well for young Zachary. Anybody that interests you?
Newcomb, I think, has been bandied around a lot in terms of people having him in a classic side. It's not for me, but I don't mind it. Have you ever considered Newcomb?
Not for my classic side. I think, you know, I tend not to target guys that just have got that natural progression as the reason that they're going to increase in their price. So for that reason, I haven't really considered him. I think he'll go great. But yeah, like the draft and keeper. D'Ambrosio and Josh Weddle named on the wing. I think he's gonna have a pretty decent sort of career, but Amon's named on the interchange.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I don't know that I can trust that one in classic. But that's just me.
Keenan being used in classic, yeah, but I didn't really consider it either. But I think he is quite cheap. Like, what is he? Must be.
I think he's around the 780 mark or 760.
Yeah, 783. Not as cheap as I thought. Yeah, you probably got better players at that price.
Yeah.
I would say so. What do I have? Now, I did notice that they've got Goldstein just rucking by himself with no Draper. So I don't know how that's going to go. Ned Reeves is a guy that you will occasionally find on the waiver wire of your draft teams. That a kind of stream option you'd look at to go head to head with Goldstein?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that he could be an option if you are looking for a ruck at the start of the season.
That's it. Yeah, depending on how shallow your leagues are, I suppose. He was available in some of the ones we did and not some of the others.
Yeah.
Cool. I don't think there was any. Yeah, I think we touched on most of the guys. Oh, McGrath. I don't think anyone's seriously considering McGrath, but he did have a good preseason.
Mm. He did this to everybody last year, so
that's true. So everyone's like, we're not touching him. Let's have a look at GWS and North. Now this is a very interesting game. Not really too many things to be mentioned from a classic perspective on the ins and outs. of GWS. Finn Callahan and Harry Perryman come in, which are very draft relevant, for Toby McMullen and Callan Ward, who got injured, which is not really relevant at all. North have debuted Zane Duzma, Toby Pink, Zach Fisher's coming in from the club, as is Dylan Stevens, I think, or is he a drafted? I can never remember. And Colby McKercher. So a lot of rookies get the tick there. Then we've got Zeri, which people might be considering. Did you end up going with Zeri? I think a lot of people have floated that idea.
Yeah, so I certainly floated it for a lot of the preseason, but I ended up on the old Gorner Grundy.
Yeah, it's nothing wrong with that. I went that the same way myself. I went Zeri. There's an injury risk, and I don't know what he's going to do, but you certainly save a lot of coin if you go down to Zeri, which people have done.
I just wanted to. I just worry about getting him back up to somebody. And I mean, I know that you will get him up to somebody. And, you know, if you do go Zeri, then you're going on to a Marshall or an English. But I can't see the people that are going Grundy Gorn. I can't see them wanting to jump off them, at least until they're buys.
Yeah, you wouldn't think so. And it is less than, I mean, Grundy's an absolute bargain. Zeri's only not even 100K less.
Yeah.
So it's, you're not saving a lot of money by taking a fairly large risk.
Absolutely.
So that's, yeah. What else we got in the North things you could do? Luke Davis, Uniac. I haven't seen enough to risk it with Luke Davis, Uniac. I mean, he'd be fine. He's often a laid out risk, but yeah, I don't know if I'd bother doing that.
Yeah, I think he's one of these players that he's just so good and he's so good to watch, but it doesn't quite translate for the fantasy stats all the time.
You going Lazaro?
I do have Lazaro on the bench.
Yeah, I've got him. Well, it must be like F6. Yeah, F6. Just too cheap. The upside is something. I don't know if it's much, but it's for 280, it's worth a punt.
Yeah, the upside's definitely there. And I think, you know, I think in keepers late in drafts, or, you know, I think there's value there in both, in those two formats anyway.
Oh, for sure. GWS, so we got, there's a couple of obvious ones. Green, Kelly, Whitfield. I don't know if there's too many others. I've seen Perryman used occasionally, more and more draft. Briggs is a big draft ruck. But yeah, basically those three. Are you going to rock Whitfield?
I am. I think he's quite good value for what he can present. I mean, that game last week, recency bias has got me there. So I'm sort of on board. I didn't watch a lot of that game, so, and I haven't watched any of them in the preseason. But I look, the numbers speak to me, and I'm on board.
yeah, he's certainly got a massive ceiling. He could be average. I wouldn't see him being bad, but yeah, he certainly has the possibility of being huge. What about Tom Green?
Tom Green, love it. If I had the coin to be able to go for him, and if it wasn't the, he's a amazing player, controls that midfield. He could absolutely tear the Kangaroos apart. Having said that, he's only got 100 in his three games that he's played against the Kangaroos, and his last game was 73. But North do give up mid points.
They certainly do.
So I think he could be anything this week. He's certainly up there with captain considerations where I own stocks.
Yeah, I'd have to be. There's quite a lot you could do with captaincy in this game. One we didn't mention, which I've been looking at, Sheasel. You could even throw the C at him. Have you got a Sheasel in your team?
Certainly do, mate. Certainly do.
Man, I'd have to go with that Sheasel.
Yeah, I think, you know, the progression's certainly going to be there for him, and premium options you can trust in defense is,
yeah, they're hard to find.
It's a bit iffy and it's hard to find. So a lot of value guys, but I think he only gets better from here.
Yeah, you have to. What is ownership like? It must be pretty high.
What is his ownership? 41%.
Yeah, that's pretty high. I think anything around that 40 mark, given that there's a lot of percentage of people that go ship, is a heck of a lot. Yeah, I'd be half inclined to chuck the C on Sheasel. I mean, I probably won't because I just like to do it against midfielders and rucks, but that's an idea. Josh Kelly?
Yeah, look, it's not really one that I've considered this year. I haven't paid too much attention to him because I don't generally buy any stocks in him in drafts. So he's usually one that I've missed. So sort of one that I forget about from time to time.
Yeah, he didn't have a great preseason. He had a really epic last community series game from memory. Or maybe it was just he was really good last week. Like, he's done one good thing that's caught my attention. And I had picked him up until I slashed my side because it was terrible on the buy rounds and I had too many GWS and Swans guys and Gold Coast. So he was in until like 2 days ago, which was only admittedly half an hour after I made the side. But still, he was in there for a little bit.
He was in there for a bit.
I don't mind him. Like, yeah, if you can spare him on the buy count, I think he's worth going for. And certainly all three of them, Green, Whitfield, Kelly, you'd be inclined to put the C on. I'd probably go, Whitfield's just a risk with the captaincy, isn't he? Because he could be average.
Absolutely. I mean, if you could throw a BC on him.
Oh, for sure.
One for that.
If you've got, well, that's probably the other question. Would you intentionally take a donut in a round one to loop?
Generally not. Generally, I'm all about the cash generation. The sooner you can build a team and get the upgrades that you need, the better. But this year, I mean, there's not a hell of a lot of great options on the bench in the ruck line. So I think that I'll probably be carrying a Harry Barnett or, you know, somebody that plays late in the round or in a team that plays late in the round. I think that's sort of the line that I'm going to go down this year.
Yeah, I'd much prefer to take a ruck donut and then use that as opposed to paying up for an R3.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. All right, so that takes us on to the Cats and the Saints. Run us through what we got there.
Cats and the Saints. Sorry, mate. Sean Manners in. That'll
be interesting.
That'll be interesting. Named on the bench. St Kilda have got new players playing for them. Riley Bonner gets a run. I'm all about Bonner.
Oh, really? Russ was all about Bonner on the chat, which means I don't trust him.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Just can't trust Russ.
Riley Bonner, I mean, he's named at halfback and there's all the preseason talk. And again, the group think if this game comes into this, that, you know, even when Sinclair's back, he'll probably be getting more midfield time. So I'm all about Riley Bonner.
He's very cheap too, isn't he? What are we talking? 463.
So if he can pump out some decent scores and generate some cash quickly, then I'm all about it. Darcy Wilson will be great for benches. Liam Henry, probably more draft relevant than anything. Interesting that Geelong have named Jai Clark and Tanner Barun on the ball.
Yeah, their midfield is just random.
They
want to borrow it.
Yeah, I think Jai Clark I might be having a bar of in classic. I think I can lock him into my side pretty safely. Who else? Nazai Wanganeen Miller. He's a great starting pick, I think. Tom Stewart.
I don't mind. It's expensive for mine, but he's pretty good.
Yeah, look, He's generally not the type of player that I trust. Tom Stewart's got the run of games at GMHBA, so
no, he won't like Tom Stewart.
I think that's pretty pretty safe. Anybody that you like from this game?
One I steer away from, Jack Steele. I've never been a fan of starting with Jack Steele.
Really?
You ever considered? Yeah, he's always just overly expensive and kind of disappoints to start the year.
Well, it's funny you say that because, I mean, I had a decent year with him a couple of years ago in my side, so I do have a bit of a love affinity with him. And and I think he's a bit cheap. He's cheap, no buy.
No buy, I think, is a big one.
Yeah, so that's where I'm at with Handsome Jack.
Yeah, 884, that's all right. Because I just, in the years past, he's been like the million-dollar man and never quite lives up to the price tag.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I mean, last year was a bit of a shocker to have him, especially if you paid up for him.
That would have been disappointing.
And it was a bit of a roller coaster because he'd go well and then he'd go bad. And then, you know, you have a couple of games back and you think, yeah, okay, well, but from all reports, looking fit and ready to go, named on the ball.
Yeah, so, 884, I think you probably could do that, especially if you had buy issues you wanted to get away from.
Yeah,
save a bit of coin. Maybe don't hate it. Still not super pro. The other thing I noticed here is, Rowan Marshall's going up against Reece Stanley, so I'll be pretty confident to put a C or a VC on Rowan Marshall because Reece Stanley's not a ruck's arsehole.
Absolutely, and his last two against Geelong, 141 and 118. So he's got some. And that was only one game last season and one game in 22. But yeah, I wouldn't fault anybody for choosing Roma as a captain option for themselves.
Yeah, I might even. Oh, I was going to say I was going to do that right now, but I don't have Roma, so I can't. that's disappointing after all that talk.
Yeah.
Gold Coast and the Crows. Yeah, I'm picking the Crows to win this relatively easily. 25 points, I'm going to say. Chrissy Burgess, he is coming in for the Crows, which is a bit of a bolt from the blue.
Yeah, I mean Taylor Walker's not in the side, so
that's true.
Apparently he's had a pretty solid preseason. Okay. I just worry about his job security. That's my only. If the Crows had brought him across for a solid role that he was going to play all year, be all about it, but.
Yeah, I wouldn't be picking him either. But if you've got a deep keeper league or single season draft, could be worth a waiver just to see what he does. Maybe next week after he does something, I don't know. lots of options, obviously, in these two sides. We'll start with the Crows. You've got Laird, who may be playing forward, apparently. I think he's still a pretty solid pick. Rankin and Rochelle, which may be running through the midfield. Rob, which I probably wouldn't go. And the other guy that's came up recently, and you can probably get him off your waiver wire on some of your shallower leagues, is Sam Berry, who they've named on the ball, which is interesting.
Yeah, it certainly is. Certainly is. I like Berry. I like him more as a keeper pick. He's... I don't think that you could touch it. I don't think you could touch that in Classic.
He falls out of favour a lot, doesn't he?
Yeah, so I sort of worry about him, and now him in the side, Matt Crouch, his fantasy output, because they're both sort of one-trick ponies.
That's true, yeah.
They don't necessarily have another string to their bow, whereas, you know, if they wanted Dawson or Rory Laird to play somewhere else. I'm not trying to throw anybody off here, but I mean the Crows, how many guys in this side did they put through the midfield last year? And how many guys have we heard that they want to give more midfield time to?
Yeah, you know, all the half of their half forwards and half backs are going to come through the midfield, apparently. Yeah.
Well, exactly. I mean, you know, Keys, Rankin, Richelle, they can all play in the midfield. Jake Saligo's on the bench. Like, how many of these guys can they squeeze in before fantasy points start spreading in amongst them all?
But, yeah, that's it. Yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah, Sam Berry, as you said, is not really a keeper option, but I think he's a sneaky guy from a draft. I mean, a classic, probably is a keeper option. But yeah, certainly single season draft, that's a sneaky pickup, I reckon.
Absolutely. And from the Gold Coast have got no shortage of options, I don't think. Alex Sexton's sexy back. He's, I think he's locked into just about everybody's side. Yep.
What did you make of his game last week, though? He didn't dominate like everyone assumed he would. He got 80 or whatever it was.
Yeah. Oh, look, I think at his price, it's enough. And I think that we'll see weeks of, you know, where that scoring share across that half back line is shared around, and, you know, Buderick might have the down game, or Will Power may score a little bit less. So I think that there will be. I don't think that we expect the lofty heights of the 100 and whatever he scored in the preseason game. But at the same time, I think he's a perfectly fine starting pick, and you get off him at the right time and he's made his money and everybody's happy. So.
Yeah, that's true. Certainly a lot of money to be made. Probably the same with Bedarek.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And Flanders? You're on Flanders?
I was, but I'm not. So it's. Okay. But having said that, I could very well be again.
So. Yeah, well, I've got to move on Jack McRae, so I could go back to Flanders. Although it does fuck up my buy numbers, but I can still do it.
Yeah, I look at him and I think, okay, well, how shallow is the forward line going to be, and how many people, how far is he going to outperform his price?
Well, yeah, that's probably not huge. I mean, he wasn't. He got a good score last week from memory, didn't he?
Yeah. What did he get? He got a 90, I think it was.
Yeah. It's been around there.
But yeah, I certainly don't think that he's certainly not terrible. And I mean, you could do plenty worse than having him. What do you make of Matt Rowell?
I really like Matt Rowell. I've got him in my side. I didn't cut him when I was cutting by players. No, he dominated last week. Now, admittedly. It was against the Tigers, who didn't look very good last week, although they're putting up a heck of a fight tonight. So that's something, but he looked amazing. And he had a pretty good preseason. So I'm chips in on Matt Rowell.
Yeah, right. It's not one that I've considered myself, but
okay.
Yeah, I can see the appeal there. I could definitely
He's not
see
as it. Cheap as I would have liked. I thought he would be more of a bargain. 830, yeah, he's got a play very well to kind of outperform that price, but yeah, I'm not backing him in.
Absolutely.
Anyone else on that game? I don't think there's anyone. You could put Cassie on Laird or probably not Sexton, but yeah, it'd be the big mids, you would think, but could go anywhere. So I don't know if I'd be using the C on that game.
Yeah, and Took, what do you think?
I quite like Took, but he's probably someone I can't squeeze in. I have looked at him a lot. Mm. He's another expensive guy, isn't it? So he's more. Oh, he's not that much actually.
He's eight something.
Yeah. So yeah, it's someone I could probably squeeze in if I went. You know, maybe what do we got? Nick Martin at 769. So I guess you need another 100K. But if I was to jump off Nick Martin because he was sitting there on a wing. That'd be something I'd look at, some kind of an M4, M5 position.
Yeah.
I don't mind it, but again, it's a Suns issue, isn't it? You can't have too many because they're going to hit you up on that buy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think Suns are like the Swans. Just have too many. It's just so annoying this round zero because they're like, oh, look at all. You get a good look at all these guys, and look how good they are. But you can't pick many because they've all got to buy in 2 weeks. It's like, frustrating.
Yes, absolutely, and that's the problem. Like, I mean, we're all trying to figure out this buy structure and what we're how we're supposed to be navigating it. And I think everybody's got a different opinion of what how you should and what the right answer is. And the reality is, I don't think anybody actually knows what the right answer is here.
Yeah, I don't think anyone does. And yeah, it's just take a stab and have a plan. I guess that's the point. You've got to have some kind of plan. It doesn't matter what it is, whether it's making sure you don't take too many numbers into each game, or knowing exactly who you're going to drop where, or having dual position guys, and making sure you can cover in certain positions, or just maybe I've seen some people just, that's more something I looked at one week, of just copping it one week in order to dominate another week. And that's an option as well if you want to go down that route.
Absolutely.
So what do we get? Move on to the Sunday game. So we're dealing with extended benches, which is always fun. So we got Melbourne and the Western Bulldogs. So, a heap of people in Muddy Hoare, Pickett, McDonald, Fulton, Coit. Who is this guy? Colton Fulstep. Oh, he probably won't make it off the bench. Taj. Is that how do you say it? Fulstrom?
I'm in a keeper league that's incredibly deep, and his name has come up a few times since. He'll play because of the Angus Brayshaw retirement.
Oh, okay.
But I think he lives more in hope.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. If it's anything like our BEP league, where you've got to pick 600, 700 players. 18 teams of 38 or whatever it is, you probably do have to punt on someone like that.
Absolutely.
It's always fun. And Ben Brown, Tomlinson, Bowie's injured, obviously, but he'd been mentioned. Josh Shackey's rubbish. I'm not surprised they cut him. Charlie Spargo's out. that's another one of the taking a second ruck on the extended bench, because we've got Tom Phillotton there, but you wouldn't imagine he gets anywhere near the field.
No, I wouldn't have thought so. I think they've got enough options within the team to have a second ruck.
I'd say so. And on the dock side, we've got Caulfield, Sanders, Tick, Caulfield, Tick, Bramble, Harms and Gallagher are the new faces. So the big thing of note there is Jack McRae does not play. So that's going to, as we said before, screw with everyone's F1. I think I'm picking the Dogs to get up here by not much, a couple of goals maybe.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I think I don't know about Melbourne, and the Dogs will be fired up, I think, coming into their season. So,
yeah.
What do you reckon from terms of a football point of view from here?
Look, I don't know where Melbourne sit. Like nobody's really sure. What they're going to do this season, but you know, for the Melbourne fans, I hope that they get back to their best. But yeah, I mean, the Dogs, who knows with them as well. So, I mean, I reckon this one will probably be close, but I think Melbourne, but that's just me.
Yeah, and it'd be interesting either way. I can just see that the Dogs being too much fun, but they do have a habit of being bad when they're supposed to be good, the Dogs, so they could collapse also. Sanders, obviously, a big one from a fantasy point of view. English, Caulfield. I've even gone Libba in my team, which is a little bit more pod than I'd like to start the season, but I'm really bullish on what Libba can do.
Yeah. I'd been looking heavily at Salem throughout the preseason, and I thought that he might be somebody. And Simon Goodwin's comments before last week's game sort of alluded to the fact that had been a bit of a plan for a while to get him into the midfield. But, I mean, obviously last week with the injury to Bowie, thought it might have been an easy option for him to go back. But it's nice to see the inclusion of Marty Hoare there on the half-back line, which... it sort of leaves that door open for Salem, who is named on the interchange. But
yeah, I saw Jepper was talking up Marty Hoare's VFL numbers or whatever the league he was in before. So that's an option. But he's expensive, I think. Well, for a untried guy sitting at 307, which I suppose isn't much more than a draftee. So
yeah, absolutely.
You could take him at a D6 or even on the bench if you've got enough coin.
Yeah, I think at 307, I mean, you know, we're only talking 7,000 here, more than what Harley Reid is, and you know, Bowie's out for a while, and so maybe there is some job security for him. I just worry about parachuting off of it if it goes pear shaped.
That's true.
300 is a lot to be carrying for a guy that may not play next week.
Well, yeah, you're right. His job security is not exactly super, is it? You mentioned Salem. Obviously, Windsor, a fair lock. For your rookie positions, Gawn, a big tick, I think. Well, he got beaten up a bit by Grundy last week, didn't he? But obviously, he's not going to face Grundy every week, but he will face English.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's 87 last week in a bad game. Like, I think he bounces back. Had that good preseason game and strong finish to the end of last year. I think he probably bounces back and could even be a sneaky captain option.
Yeah, I don't mind that because historically, I think English gives up ruck points, doesn't he?
Yeah. Yes, that is what has been said. But yeah, I just don't see Max having too many bad games.
That's true.
And he's solid captain option. So.
Yeah, that's is something I'll be looking at this week, I think. What about the midfield options here? Your Petrarca and your Oliver. We haven't had Oliver's obviously had his off season injury, so I don't know if he's someone you could really trust. Apart from getting him probably cheaper than you should have in draft.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Petrarca, would you be tempted by a Petrarca in a classic?
Or is just I mean, I like Petrarca, but I think I like Vining more this year. I think Petrarca's got other roles to play in that side, whereas I think Viney could be pure midfielder. And if it wasn't for the buy, I'd probably be chips in on him. But
yeah, I'd really like him from a draft perspective. I think I got him in a couple of leagues, and you can get him kind of that, 60 or 70 kind of pick, the late round mids. Where, that's a fantastic pick, but I just don't trust him in a classic season. I don't think. Not at what is he at 903k?
Yeah, I'm with you there.
But it's a good pot if you want to take a punt on it.
Absolutely.
What do we got next? Port and the West Coast. Stream City. You want to run us through this one?
So in for Port Adelaide, Jordan Sweet, Brandon Zirk-Thatcher, Ivan Soldo. Is it Ivan or Ivan?
I think it's Ivan, but I'm not sure.
Let's go with Ivan. And the Rat.
Rat.
Southern Rat of Galea. And then for West Coast, Tyler Brockman makes his debut for the Eagles, as well as Harley Reid and Tyrell Dewar. Now, I don't know anything about Tyrell. Do you know anything about Tyrell?
Never heard of him. See him in the BEP League, but he's on the extended bench. I wouldn't see him getting off the extended bench.
Yeah, absolutely. Fantasy relevance from this game, probably your Rosie, your Butters,
yep.
Horn Francis for some, maybe.
Awesome.
I don't know that Wines is
Wines has been mentioned a lot. Yeah, he kind of faded out as the preseasons went on in terms of relevance, but he's cheap. He'd be, I think a few people are taking a punt on Wines.
Yeah, look, I'm certainly one of them. I've loaded up on that mid-price.
What is he, Wines?
Discount. Quite cheap. 701, maybe?
Yeah, that's spot on. Good guessing.
I sat in my team for long enough, I know.
Yeah, he's not a bad. If you save money on someone from you go, what is he sitting, M5?
M5. Yeah. M5 is the area for me.
Spending 760 on Nick Martin at M5. So, yeah, saving money, getting roughly the same output. I don't mind it.
I think I've sort of spread my cash because Nick Martin sits at M3 for me at the moment. So it's
So you probably spent more money in the forward line or the defense than I have, by the sound.
Yeah. Forward line and defense, I've sort of loaded up, and Zach Williams sits at D6 for me. So
gone mid price heavy in the forward line, although that might change with my Jack McRae issues. Buddy Jack McRae, I had that fight sorted. Now I'm going to have to kind of screw around and figure out what I'm going to do with the forward line again. Stupid
what
forward
the
line.
Fuck, Jack.
I know. The forward line is just causing me no end of issues. Elliot Yeo?
West Coast. I mean, Elliot Yeo, named in the middle.
That's interesting.
He's in my team. I think he's a lock for most people's teams, and you know the good fantasy eyes out there, you sort of trust them. There's a few Rhino in WA, and then Jepper gets himself out to some trainings, and you sort of trust what Jep says. So
yeah, he's pretty good at watching. He's got a ridiculous West Coast bias, but he does have a good eye for fantasy.
Yeah, he's got a great fantasy eye. Who else here? Harley Reid. I mean, they've named Harley Reid on the ball, so
I love throwing him around.
Why wouldn't they? That's their marquee player, and he's the future of that club. So I think that I think he'll be good. I think he'll be a great footballer. Whether the fantasy output's there for 300K is yet to be seen, I'd rather be on that ship than not.
Oh yeah, you don't want to be punting against Harley Reid and take someone else for 300K. No way. Jaden Hunt's been named on the ball as well, which is interesting for draft people. I think I've got a lot of Jaden Hunt stocks.
Is he on the wing or is he on the ball?
On the wing, sorry. Yeah, I keep getting confused with the center lines. So is that wing?
Yeah, so him and Gaffer on the wings.
Yeah, him and Gaffer on the wings. Yeah, I mean, that's still okay from a
absolutely from a fantasy point of view and a draft point of view, absolutely nothing wrong with that, especially if you picked him up late.
I don't mind Tim Kelly either this year, although I've historically been against Tim Kelly, but I've liked what he's done with his preseason. Yeah. Don't know if I'd pick him up in draft, I mean classic, but he's a real draft guy. Could be quite useful.
He's been a bit of a slider in most of the drafts that I was in as well. I think people are going to get some value there.
Oh, for sure. The other person I don't hate from a draft point of view is the Rat. He had a couple of really good preseason games. Could be a solid 70, 80 defender guy.
Yeah. Certainly, I mean, is he playing that earlier role from a couple of years ago
maybe.
You know, where he was a fantasy relevant prospect for us?
Yeah, it is probably that kind of role. Alirelia looks to have gone to that kind of center half back role as opposed to the deep fullback. So it'd be interesting to see what happens out of that game anyway. Forwards against West Coast. Well, probably midfielders against West Coast, anyone against West Coast. But would you stream a Charlie Dixon?
Yeah, look, absolutely streamable. You know, I think West Coast, do they improve? How much do they improve? They can't get much worse than what they were last year, can they?
That's true. No, but not unless they're going to injure even more people.
Well, you know, they had an injury list that was longer than their playing list, didn't they?
Oh, it was. Yeah, it was absolutely ridiculous. They had to go to their bloody seconds and take most of the people out of there. I think they had to get special consideration to do that at one stage.
Mm.
Just a mess. Yeah, I think that's pretty much out of that game. Last game of the round, Frio and the Lions. The Lions have to wait till 6:50 on Sunday to come out after that horrible, horrible match from last week. I'm still getting over that. It was painful. We've got obviously extended benches, McKenna, Robertson, Tunstall. Tunstall's interesting, but I don't see him getting off the extended bench. Neither does Darcy Fort. I still don't know why all sides see the need to name a second ruck on the extended bench. It's just bizarre. They never get used. They're never. Just trying to feck with people, or they're just trying to give the second rucks like their time in the limelight. I don't know.
I don't know.
Let's see if Freo have done that. God, I wouldn't know, even know who their second ruck is now, to be honest. Is it Reedy or whatever his name is?
It is Liam Reedy.
Yes, they have named him on the extended bench. There you go.
Yep, there you go. Extended bench and second rucks. It's a conspiracy.
It is. He won't get off the extended bench either, which is just as well for Luke Jackson fans.
I think we need to investigate this. This is our season's work right here.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll make it a bet priority to take a look at the extended benches every week and see if every single team's name in a second ruck.
Yeah.
I mean, not many of them make them subs either. That used to be a Brisbane thing. We'd take a ruck in as our sub, which was bizarre because you almost never injure a ruck.
No.
It was useless. They've stopped doing that, fortunately.
A couple of interesting things out of this game. And just, you know, they're obviously new for Freo is Jeremy Sharp. Where he plays and what he does, who knows? There's a few draft relevant players that I like from Fremantle and Classic as well. I mean, if you took James Ash, I mean, he's moved the back pocket.
That's a weird one. He is relevant. I still can't like him. He's just
What did he do?
He's an ex-Lion for one. He requested a trade out, and I've just never been a fan of Ash. I think he might have been one of the guys that I drafted early in a keeper league, and he spent like four seasons doing nothing before I delisted him.
They're always the ones that you hold out hope.
Yeah, and then
no, he's gonna be fine. Like I put lots of stocks into him. I can't get rid of him, and you make goals.
And then you do get rid of them after like seven seasons, and someone picks them up for nothing, and they go well, and you're like, God damn it!
Yeah. Flanders last year.
Oh, yeah. Whoever got, yeah, that would have been absolutely. Or if someone had delisted Sexton like a couple of years ago, and then this guy's a 43 just waiting to get delisted.
Yeah. Oh, mate, anyway, we're getting off track here. The more tangents, the better. But I like Jordan Clark for Classic with Hayden Young making that move into the midfield.
Have you got Hayden Young in your team?
I do. I've got both of them in my team, Jordan Clark and Hayden Young.
I didn't go Hayden Young, but I do really like what he's doing.
I mean, he's on the bench, but he plays out of that lot. Matthew Johnson on the wing, probably draft relevant more than anything. Nat Fyfe named in the guts.
That's a big one.
That's a big one. Caleb Sarong, Andy Brayshaw. So they're going with the three of them. Will Brody's on the extended bench. So I wonder if he comes back from the dead because we know he can score and there's probably a draft slider. And I know that in a couple of drafts that we've done very late, he's gone.
I think we had a keeper league where he went completely undrafted.
Unreal.
Yeah, considering what he was doing this time last year. He's just gone straight out of favour. And it seems like I've got keeper league stocks in Erasmus, but he seems to have lost the battle with Johnson.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So then on the Brisbane side of things... not super fantasy relevant, but draft relevant. Cam Rayner named in the middle.
This is just a
yearly Brisbane Lions.
They like controllers with Cam Rayner in the middle. He's one of those guys. He's a bit like Cyril Rioli. Like he'll come in and pinch hit in the middle and can be quite impactful, but still only score 45.
Yeah.
He's that limited touches. Big game impact kind of guy. When he fires, he can also obviously do nothing for a while.
Absolutely.
How do they come up with Neil, do you reckon? Is that like a McLuggage and a Dev Rob thing? Or?
Look, I mean, you'd think so, but I mean, Lyons was in the side last week. He's named on the ball this week.
I really don't like Lyons, and a lot of the Lyons supporters don't like Lyons. He's just a plodder, but we know he can accumulate fantasy points.
Yeah. So if he's out there in a draft, go pick him up.
A lot of people have done that this week in keepers and drafts. He's come off the waiver a few times.
I reckon I took him in about four or five drafts.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And I think it was even during the game. I don't know whether that's I don't know whether it's legal in some of these drafts, but hey, the fantasy season hadn't started. So.
Yeah,
it's whatever. Somebody else could have done it. Josh Dunkley will probably be just as solid as he ever is.
People were talking up bringing him in into Classic kind of to get those nil points, but I don't think he would do that. I don't see too many people pick Dunkley. I guess he's expensive and there's a fight for points in that line side.
I also think that, this year, the lack of forward status, you could really hide behind it last year. He's got forward status if he didn't score so well. But now that he's only got straight midfield status, he's got to be...
Yeah, he's got to be that big banana or he's not.
He's got to be the big dog, yeah. Otherwise he just...
Otherwise, that money you could spend on someone else who is the big dog.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. 100%. But I don't think that he does terribly, so...
You got you were Luke Jackson truther.
I am at the moment. I'm on board, but I don't know that I'm. Wouldn't call me a truther. I think one day he definitely will be. He's amazing. He's amazing now when he's got that number one ruck role.
If he didn't have the number one ruck, I wouldn't bother with him. But
But he finished last season pretty strong as well, and decent sort of numbers, but.
He's another one of those guys, I guess, that you can hide behind because he's a forward. You can go, he might not have done that well, but he's got that forward tag.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But I think from that game, that's...
That's pretty much it. Options. I can't see... maybe a Luke Jackson, but I can't see him getting huge scores over Big O. That said, he doesn't give up as much as he used to. And I guess any of those Frio mids you could captain, especially with a Neil Gorn, they'll probably get their fair share of the ball.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. What do you think of Dane Zorko in drafts?
I love it. I think with lack of forward options, he's that solid, probably second tier forward that you take off the board. But I think he's great, and he's always got a role to play in that Brisbane side, and we know that he can score in just about any role that he's given on the ground.
Yeah, they're even. Well, I guess the Coleman role has been thrown up this week. His name has come up as to someone who could pinch hit at halfback.
Yeah,
as is Darcy Wilmot. So Darcy Wilmot is probably a guy who could come off the waivers as well this week if you're going to punt at him getting that kind of that Coleman role.
Absolutely.
To do with that.
And Kai Lohman, wasn't his name floated about as well?
I don't know if that's more of he comes into the side and that frees up a Rayner or someone to go more through the midfield, or I don't know. I don't know if he could play that Coleman role, but you see what they do with Kai Lohman. They kind of subbed him last week and then he was kind of not very impactful as the Blues ran him over. So I don't know if he goes straight out. They have a little faith in him and keep him in the side. Be interesting to see what happens there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that finishes up. So we are fresh out of games. And I probably don't even need to check whether we've got questions from a break-even Twitter point of view, because I'm pretty sure we don't. The break-even Twitter feeds have been quiet. Twitter's a strange thing. We'll throw out questions and comments and get absolutely nothing and no likes. But I throw out a poll and I'll get 300 votes. I'm like, I don't get it. I know why people are voting but not liking and commenting.
Bep Truth is out there. Do our man Miller time.
Yeah, hey, just say something.
Bloody solid. Say something. And I mean, I'm certainly
a little thumbs up. Cool. Yeah, that'll be nice.
I'm certainly one that's been known to scroll past and maybe just drop a gif.
I don't mind a gif. I'm all for gifs.
Oh, absolutely. But, give him something. Give the man something.
Yeah, jump on board, people. Well, which brings us to our replacement segment, which I'll probably jump on Twitter and do again because it was popular last year. The bold predictions. So we'll start with a bold prediction for this round. And I am going to go one fantasy prediction and one football prediction. and say Wilmot will get the Coleman role, and he's going to get a ton, and the Suns are going to get pounded.
That is bold. That is quite bold. My bold fantasy prediction. Oh gosh. Oh, Errol comes back with a 130.
Is that bold enough? It's Errol, so maybe what if you upped it to 140?
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, that's bold enough, I think.
Let's do that. The 140 is bold.
It's interesting. Goes completely against my yearly fantasy prediction, but I like it. What have you got from a football point of view?
Oh, gosh. A football point of view. I think that the Suns do the Crows.
Ooh.
And I'm a Crows man, but I know that Richmond were a bit of a rollover in that first half, especially last week, but the Suns looked like they came to play and they looked mighty impressive.
Is that bold? Like when you are they going to do them by a lot?
I think, does everybody have the Crows?
I have the Crows winning. Yeah. My bold prediction is they're going to win by like 70 points.
Oh, geez, that is bold. That is bold. Now they did the Crows by 5 goals. There you go.
That's bold enough, I think.
That's bold enough.
After what the Suns did last week, I think that's bold enough. All right. My year prediction, I'm going to say Goulden is going to be a real letdown and just be fairly bad, like sub 90 guy.
That is stupendously bold.
You've got to be bold.
Well, Harley Reid, for me, Harley Reid doesn't win the Rising Star.
Oh, I like that.
That's...
mind you, there's a lot of good rooks out there, but he's obviously odds on to win the Rising Star.
But, I mean, no rookie has had 73 back pages in the last 4 months in WA or whatever the number is.
Yeah. But if you looked at, like, this time last year, like, Will Ashcroft would have been odds on to win the Rising Star, you'd imagine.
Ooh,
and Sheasel just went bang.
Yeah.
From a football point of view, I'm going to say... the Lions are going to win the flag despite losing this round. So they're going to go 0-2 and then win the flag.
That's
as bold, I suppose. But
I mean, I think that they should be a top four side, but
yeah.
They lose this week, but I mean, that is bold. I think Port Adelaide not making the 8, is that bold?
I think that's relatively bold. They've obviously topped up, you know, to attack that flag. So if they completely shit the bed and don't make the 8, I think that's fairly bold.
If
Port Adelaide don't make the 8, what round do you think Ken Hinckley gets sacked in?
Oh, that is a great question. Mate, haven't we all been saying for years Ken Hinckley will be done by round 10?
Pretty much. Yeah, that's what I say every year.
Well, I say it this year too. It's,
Ken Hinckley to be done by round 10. I'll make a note of that. Nice. Ken done by 10.
I like that. And you can give me a couple of drive-bys when he hasn't been done.
Oh, yes. I'm sure I'll tag Hef in that.
Yeah.
Get done. Hef just hates Ken Hinckley.
Oh, does he ever?
Oh, yeah. He's always calling him a sack. It's funny. All right, Beppers. I think that covers all our content. I'll publish some of those bold predictions there tomorrow, and then we can get into doing some listener bold predictions and see what we can find. Everyone always enjoys those. But, otherwise, we'll call it a night. Good luck on finalising your selections, everyone. I'm sure it's going to be a big day tomorrow to nut all those in before lockouts. And, have fun with fantasy on our first official weekend. Right. See you, bye, guys.
Thanks for having me.